Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Shabbos Daf Tzadik Dalet. We're at the Mishnah on Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. It says the Mishnah, Hamoitzi Oichen, Pachos Mikashir Bekli. If one should carry out food less than the shear, less than the prescribed amount, which is a gergeres, a dried fig. So if he takes out food which contains less volume than a dried fig, and he takes it out in a kli, says the Mishnah, not only is he potter for the food, since it has less than a shear, potter af ala kli, he's also potter for carrying out the container. Why? Says the Mishnah, shakli tfeilolei, because the container is secondary to the content. We don't view the container as a separate entity, as though he's carrying it out separately. It is together, it is a combined masa yitzah on the content and the kli. And since the kli is merely there to contain the content within, it is secondary to the content. It is tafel. And if he's potter for the content, for the oichel, he's going to be potter for the kli as well. Continues the Mishnah, a similar halacha, es achai b'mita. If one carries out a living person in a bed, potter afalamita. Not only is he potter for carrying out the living person, as Rashi will explain, because chay neiseis atzma, because he lightens himself, Rashi will explain. So not only is he potter for carrying out this living person, he's also potter on the bed. Why? For the same reason. Potter afalamita shamita tfeilolai, because the bed is secondary and subordinate to the person within, and is not reckoned as a separate ma'aseh tzah, so it's merely a tuffle to the primary object here, which is the person. If he's potter for the person, he's potter on the bed as well. Continues the Mishnah, es ha'meis b'mita. What if he carries out a corpse, a dead person in a bed? Chayav, he's chayav because he intends on removing the tumah from his rishus. It's considered to be a significant act of carrying. And therefore he's chayv. Not only entire mace, v'chein kezayis min hamace, even a small portion, a kezayis volume of a mace, which has the ability to be metame, and therefore that is also considered to be a hitzah chashuva, and he is chayv. And not only that, v'kezayis min hanavela, of a dead animal, v'kadosh min hasheretz, a small portion of a sheretz, the size of a lentil, for instance of a dead lizard, chayv, because he is ridding himself of this tumah. And therefore, it's considered to be a hitzah chashuva, as Rashi says. So this is the shita of Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Shimon Poiter, Shimon says, if he removes tumah from his domain, he's not chayev, because he doesn't need this object out there in Shusarabim. His intention is merely to get rid of this tumah. That is considered to be a melacha she'ena tzricha lugufa. It's not needed for its own sake. It's merely done as he's doing it as a means to get rid of this tumah. It's not serving a positive objective, and therefore, according to Reb Shimon, he's going to be potter. Let's take a look at Rashi inside from the beginning of the Mishnah, which is 19 lines from the bottom up in Rashi. Begins Rashi as a chay b'mita, v'chay lo yimachayev ala tzaosay. So if one carries out a living person in the bed, he is potter on the person and on the bed. Why? Says Rashi, v'chay lo yimachayev ala tzaosay. One is not liable for carrying out a living person, who makel atzmai, because he lightens himself. That is the nature of things. The person, when being carried, lightens himself somewhat, v'noisi atzmai, and somewhat carries himself. And therefore, that is not regarded as a standard, as a typical load, and therefore, there's no chiyuv on carrying out this living person. Continues Rashi, v'chein kezayis min hameis chayiv im hoitzi. Why? The hoyel umetame, since this kezayis has the ability to transfer tumah, hoytzo chashuvi, it's a significant act of carrying, lahatzl asr min hatumah, to protect oneself, to save oneself from tumah. Rav Shimon poiter, afilu b'mei sholim, even when carrying an entire mace, da'ave malacha she'ena tzricha lugufa, it's not needed for its own sake. He's carrying it out, not because he needs it elsewhere, because he doesn't want it here. V'chol malacha she'ena tzricha lugufa, ela, l'salka ma'alav, to get rid of it. Have a malacha she'ena tzricha gufa. Why the b'ritzoyna lo yibolai? If it was up to him, he would never have had this thing here. V'lo yitzarcha, he didn't need it. Hilchach lav malachas machshevesi, the Rav Shimon holds, This is not included in the term melechas machsheves. Melechas machsheves means doing an act of a melacha of crafting something, designing something, doing something positive. But doing a melacha simply for the sake of avoiding a problem, removing an issue, getting rid of a tumah, that's not considered to be melechas machsheves, and therefore he is potter. So in summary, we have two concepts learned in our Mishnah. First thing regarding Iker and Tafel, and then we went on to the halacha of removing tumah, which according to Tanakam is considered to be a melacha, according to Reb Shimon, it is not. Continues the Gemara, Tana Rabbana, we learn in the Brayis. Ha-moitzi oichlan kashir. What if one carries out oichlan, which contain the proper volume, and it is in a kli, im bekli, so if it's in a container, says the Brayis, chayav al oichlan, upatar al kli, he's chayav for carrying out the food, but he's potter on the kli because the kli is tafel. Once again, it is secondary, subordinate to the content. There's no separate chiv on the kli. However, says the Brayis, v'im hoya kli tzarech lei. What if he especially needed this kli out there in Shesurabim? Chayav af al kli. Then indeed he's chayav twice, on the oichlan and on the kli. Says the Gemara, shma mina, apparently, apparently we learn from here, just as you just told me, that if one repeats the same halacha of Aitzah taking place twice, one on the Oichlan, one on the Kli, will result in two chiyuvim, even though they both took place in one helim, in one lapse of awareness. He didn't become aware of his halacha until he completed both of them. He's chayv two karbanos. Apparently, in the case where a person is oichel shnei zeisim chelev, a person eats two kezesim of chelev, forbidden fats, belem echad, in one lapse of awareness, chayiv shtayim, he is chayiv two karbanos, and we know that that's not the case. When a person repeats the same avera, same sin twice, in one helem, he's only chayiv once. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Sheshes, Hachav Ma'eskina was speaking about, Kigoy Shishogag al Oichlan. When he took out the food, he was shogig, it was done inadvertently. Ve'hezda al kli, but regarding the kli, it was done intentionally. He knew that it was a malacha. So therefore, when the Braisa tells us, he's chayiv, on the Oichlan, it's referring to a chayiv chatos, due to the shogig involved. When the Braisa tells us, he chayiv on the kli, the Braisa is referring to skila. Chiyuv misa, capital punishment, due to the malacha b'mezid. So indeed, of course, there will never be two chatois on a malacha which was repeated behelam echad. We're speaking about a chatas and misa. Maskev lo Ravashi. How could he say that that is the interpretation of the Braisa? V'ho afal akli katani. The Braisa uses words which seem to be implying that he's bringing two chatois, not only on the oichlan, afal akli. On the container as well, he will bring a chatas. It seems like we're speaking about the same liability, the same chiv. You can't say one is a carbon, one is a misa. Ela marvashi. We're speaking about, for instance, kigon sheshogag bezeo beze. Indeed, it was inadvertent on both accounts, on the food and on the utensil. V'noideloi. However, he became aware of one of them, so he did them both together. Then he had a idea, a knowledge, an awareness on one of those two things. And then only afterwards, v'chozav v'noy deloy, afterwards, he became aware of the second thing as well. And we know that Rabbi Yochanan holds, we learned this earlier in the Ayin Aleph, that yidiyos machalkos, the fact that he became aware of one avera before the other one, that splits them into two and requires two separate karbonis. Ubeplukta, this discussion here indeed, is dependent on the machlekes, the Rabbi Yochanan Shimon Lakish, which Rabbi Yochanan is the one who holds that Yediyah is Amachalkais, Bishim Malakish holds Yediyah is not Amachalkais. So, this discussion between Rav Ashi, who tells us that the interpretation of the Braisa is based on this concept of Yediyah is Amachalkais, and Rav Sheshes, who avoided this approach, is apparently dependent on that Amachalkais, meaning that Rav Sheshes doesn't subscribe to that shita of Yediyah is Amachalkais, therefore he opted to avoid that interpretation. However, Rav Ashi does hold of that shita of Yedias Machalkos, and therefore he interpreted the Braisa accordingly. So in summary, if one is Moitzi, Oichlin, Pachas Mikashir, in a kli. The Mishnah tells us he's potter on the oichlin and potter on the kli. The Braisa continues and tells us that if he is moitzi oichlin kishir in a kli, he's chayav on the oichlin and potter on the kli. What if he needs the kli? He's tzarechle. The Braisa says he's chayav. We have two interpretations. Either we're speaking about that he was amazing on the kli and he's chayav skila, or according to Rav Ashi, he had a yidia on one of the two things, on either the oichlin or the kli, and then afterwards had another yidia on the second item. And yidia is a machalkos. It splits things into two, and it needs to be a separate carbon for each one. Continues the Gemara. Es achai b'mita. What if one carries out a living person in a bed? Potter af al mita. Not only is he potter on the chai, he's also potter on the mita, because the mita is a tafel. Says the Gemara, Lema Masdis and Rabbi Nosson, Yivla Rabbanon. Should we suggest that our Mishnah is following Rabbi Nosson's Shita and not the Rabbanon? It is Rabbi Nosson who says that a chai is not considered to be a mas, a load. The Sani is willing to embrace Hamoitzi behema, chaya v'oif, lisha sarab. If one carries out a behema, domestic animal, chaya v'oif, a fowl, lisha sarab. Bein chayim, bein shchutin, whether alive or whether slaughtered, chayav is considered to be a load. Rav Nosson Omer, al shchutin chayav, I agree. If it is shachat, he is chayav, is considered to be a load. However, ba'al chayim, if they are alive, potter, shachay, noisei es atzmai, because a living creature, a living thing, carries itself, it lightens itself. So Tosfos discusses the source of chayim noisei es atzmai. So the point here is not the fact that it's light as opposed to being heavy. The point is that the living thing lightens its load. It's not your typical load, which is dead weight. Something which is alive, it lightens itself. It lifts itself slightly. Therefore, says Tosfos, it's not typical. It's not similar to the loads carried in the Mishkan, in the Midbar. And therefore, it doesn't have the status of a standard load, and there's no chiv. So this again is Shita Rav Nosson, who tells us that if one carries a behema, chai v'oif, which are still living, he's potter. Apparently, says the Gemara, our Mishnah is following Rav Nosson and not the Rabbanon, who don't seem to hold this svara. Amar Rava, afilu tamei Rabbanon. Our Mishnah could be following even the Rabbanon. Ad kan l'plig Rabbanon, olei the Rav Nosson. Rabbanon only disagreeing with Rav Nosson, elo v'behema, chai v'oif. By these creatures, the mesharbet in afshayu, because the Rabbanon hold, they actually make themselves heavy. They try to get away from the person, so they weigh themselves down. You can't apply the concept of chai noiseis atzmai, that a living thing lifts himself and carries himself. Quite the contrary, they weigh themselves down. Aval adam chai, but a living person, the noiseis atzmai, who certainly lightens himself, he lifts himself slightly. I feel the Rabbanon moidu, even the Rabbanon will agree that there's no chiv of Eitzah, because chai, noisei es atzmai. So indeed, our Mishnah is discussing a living person, where even the Rabbanon agree that there's no chiv, because the living person lightens himself, lightens the load somewhat, and is not considered to be a standard masui, and there's no chiv. Omalei Rav Ada bar Ava l'Rav. V'hadasnan. Now let's take a look at the following Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, telling us that one may not sell any animals which are meant for labor, for doing malacha. You can't sell it to a non-Jew. The Gemara tells us there's concern of she'elos chiros, because perhaps he might lend it to the guy, loan it to the guy, and he might use it on Shabbos, and we know that a person is obligated, has a chiv to have his animals rest from labor on Shabbos as well. Says the Mishnah, b'meseira mater b'sus. B'meseira allows a person to sell a horse. Why? V'tani v'lintan abraisa v'meseira matab rasus. Why? M'pnei shu oisu b'y melacha. Shein chayav n'lov chatas. Because a horse is designated for accommodating a rider. Now, a rider is not considered to be a true melacha. As Rashi says, it's not a melacha d'abraisa. And therefore, it's not considered to be one of those things that a person needs to ensure that his animal rests from. And therefore, Ben Meseira says that a person can sell a sus, a horse, to a guy, because the work that a horse is involved in is not a malacha. It's not a malacha, shechayav melov chatos. So that's the Shita Ben Beseira. Now let's take a look further. Vomar Yechanan, Ben Beseira, so this opinion of Ben Beseira, who exempts a sus from the prohibition of selling a behemoth to a guy, Ben Beseira, Rebbe Nosson, Omer Dever Echad. They both are one and the same. Ben Beseira's reason and Rebbe Nosson's reasoning are alike. They're both following, they're both aligned with each other. Ben Beseira just said that the horse is not performing a malacha by accommodating its rider. And Rebbe Nosson, who holds as well that a person, a chai, is noises atzmoy. He's not considered to be a load. Now, vi amris, deloy pligi rabbanon olei de Rebbe Nosson. Now, if you maintain that this was Rava who told us that rabbanon agree when it comes to a living person, it's not considered to be a load. He is noises atzmoy. So the Gemara is challenging. It's challenging Rav. Vi amris. Now, if you say deloy pligi rabbanon olei de Rebbe Nosson ella bebehema chayev oif. If you maintain that rabbanon only disagrees with Rebbe Nosson in a particular area when it comes to behema to chayev oif, because mishum deshav mishavetin avshayev, because they weigh themselves down, they struggle to get away and they weigh themselves down. However, a person, by a person, certainly apply the concept, the formula of chayev says atzmoy. And this horse that is accommodating his rider, it's not considered to be carrying the rider. It's not really a masli. It's not really a load, even according to the Rabbanan, because chaynei says atzmai. Says the Gemara, if so, my area ben beseira of Rebbe Nosson. So why did the Gemara have to pair together ben beseira, who exempts a horse, since it's merely intended to for accommodating a rider, where there's no issa deraisa involved, there's no malacha deraisa, because he's not a masoi, he's not carrying a load. Why did you have to pair together Ben Meseir with Rebbe Nosson? My iri Ben Meseir with Rebbe Nosson. And you align both of them together. You said Ben Meseir and Rebbe Nosson are aligned with each other. They both subscribe to this chiddush that a person is not considered to be a load for amris. But haven't you said, afilu Rabbanan maidu, even the Rabbanan agree, they concede that when it comes to a person, we apply the rule of chayne says atzmai. So even the Rabbanan would agree that a horse is not involved in malacha because he's merely accommodating a rider, which is a person. Says the Gemara, ki amar Rabbi Yochanan. Indeed, you're right. If a horse is accommodating a person who's riding on top of it, he's not doing a malacha. Why then the Rav Yochanan need to pair together Ben Meseira, who exempts a horse, and Rabbi Nosson specifically, as opposed to the Rabbanan? Because we're speaking about a very specific type of horse. Ki Amar Rabbi Yochanan besus hamiyuchad la'oifos, a sus which is designated for carrying fowl, birds, and when it comes to birds, according to Rabbanan, at least, we don't apply the concept of chaynos es atzmei, which is specific only to a human being. Says the Gemara, Umi ikosus hamiyuchad la'oifos, is it such a phenomenon of a horse which is especially designated for carrying oifos? Says Ma'in, yes. Iko deve vayadon. We have this horse which is used by the bevayadon. Rashi says these are the tsayadi oifos, those bird trappers who would carry some of these wild bird nates and these type of birds who were these hunting birds which helped them in their hunting. So indeed, Rabbi Eichlan, when he pairs together Ben Meseira with Rabbi Nosson specifically, he's referring to a horse, even a horse which is designated for carrying oifos. And in that case, certainly the Rabbanon disagree. They hold that that it's considered to be a load. It's only a human being riding on a horse where we apply the concept of chaynos es atzmoy. He's not considered to be a load. But if there's anything other than a human being on this horse, it's considered to be a load. So therefore, when Ben Meseira is matir b'sus, he allows all types of horses to be sold to a guy. Even this horse, which is designated for the oifos to ride on it. Apparently, he's following Rabbi Nosson Shita, who maintains that even when it comes to other creatures, we apply the concept of chaynos es atzmoy. Therefore, this horse is not performing any malacha because the creature above it is not a load. And therefore, he maintains one may sell it to a guy. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Umoide Rav Nosson Bekofus. Rav Nosson will agree that when it comes to something which is tied up, we don't apply the concept of Chaynoises Atzmei. Something which is tied up doesn't have the ability to even lift himself slightly to lighten the load, and therefore we treat it as an ordinary standard load, and if one should carry it out, he's chayv. And Tosfos says actually even a tinek ben yoyme, a one-day-old baby, would fall into this category. Other Rishayim say even up to 8 days old. Others say even if he's as long as he's not old enough to be able to walk through even by holding and assisting him, he doesn't have the ability to walk at all. It falls into this category of kafas. Apparently, up to that point, he doesn't have the ability to lighten himself and to be noiseis atzmai. So Rav Nosson will agree in this specific case. Amale, Rav Ada bar Masna Abaye. V'ha, hani parsoi, the commander kafisi dami. Now, these Persians, Rashi says, were wrapped up in b'gadim, rechavim, wide garments. They were finicky. They conduct themselves with heaviness and slow-moving people. So, these people, says the Gemara, if they're sitting on a horse, we should give them the status of a kafas, of some, like somebody who's tied up, who doesn't have the ability to lift himself and lighten himself. Once again, v'ani parsei, these Persians, the commander kafisi dami, they can be regarded as though they're tied up. Nevertheless, v'omer b'yechanan, ben b'seira, v'rab nosan, abad avarechot. Let's go back to the equation that Rabbi Yechanan presented for us, that ben b'seira, who allows selling any type of horse to a goy without any concern of malacha being performed with that horse on Shabbos, because a horse is going to be carrying, the Gemara said, either a person or even a bird, where according to Ben Misera, there is no chiva, there's no malacha there, because Chayinu says Atzmai, and indeed, it is aligned with Rav Nosson, who holds as well that a creature sitting on something else is not considered to be a load, Chayinu says Atzmai. Says the Gemara, but this horse being sold to the non-Jew, perhaps we're speaking about selling it to a Persian, who's considered to be tied up kafas. Now when he sits on this horse, he's considered to be like a master, like a load. So how can that be allowed? Even according to Rav Nosson, that shouldn't be allowed. Again, Vahani Parsoi, these Persians, the commander Kafisi Dami, who are regarded as tied up, Vahom Rav Yechanan, nevertheless Rav Yechanan tells us, Ben Besera, who allows selling a horse to any type of non-Jew, even a Persian, for Rav Nosson, Amar David Echad. So they are following the same line of reasoning, but Meseira is aligned with Rav Nosson, who holds Chayneses Atzmai. But how can you apply that to a Persian? Says the Gemara, it's by choice. When the Persian conducts himself with heaviness and is all finicky, Hasam Ramas Rucho Denokatlu, they're being gripped by haughtiness. But certainly they have the full ability to run, to walk. They're not considered to be tied up, and therefore certainly the formula of Chayneses Atzmai applies to them. It only doesn't apply to somebody who's actually tied up. These people are not actually tied up. Says the Gemara, I'll prove it to you. The Ahu Paradashcha, this Persian official, the Rosach Malki Iluvei. So the king got mad at him, and as a result, he took off and ran. Veroit Tlosa Parsi Bekari. He ran 3 parsois by foot. So apparently, he has the ability full well to run if he chooses to do so. Therefore, technically speaking, they do not fall to the category of something tied up. And we apply the concept of Chayneses Atzmai even to a Persian. So in summary, we learned the concept of Chayneses Atzmai, a living thing, lifts himself, carries himself somewhat, and is not regarded as a Masoi when it comes to Hoytzah's Shabbos. We have Machlekes. According to the Rabbanon, this applies strictly to an Adam, to a person. And as Tosfos points out, not to a small baby. So it's merely to an Adam. However, a baby Mechai V'Oif, and certainly anything which is tied up will not have this concept applied to it. According to Rav Nosson, this concept applies not only to a person, but also to a Bein Mechai V'Oif. But not if these things are tied up. In that case, they don't have the ability to lighten themselves, to lift themselves. They are regarded as an ordinary standard load. And if one carries them on Shabbos, he has done Haitzah. Continues the Gemara. Es ha mace b'mito chayev. The Mishnah tells us if one carries out a mace and a mita is chayev v'chen kazayis mina mace. This is in accordance with the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that even a malacha which is not of a constructive nature is a malacha shein tzrich l'gufa. It's not needed for its own purpose, its own sake. It's merely removing tuma. He's ridding himself of something unwanted and undesirable. That is considered to be a malacha and is chayev. Rabbi Shimon, however, disagrees. Rabbi Shimon says, in this case, he would be potter. Because is it a malacha? She'eino tzricha l'gufa. It's not needed for its own sake. It's not achieving a higher purpose. It's not a constructive malacha. Says the Gemara, Omar Rabba, Babrachana, Omar Rabbi Yechon, V'Omar Rabbi Yosef, Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Poiter hayi Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon exempted, he pattered, even after moitzi as a mace l'kover, even if one should carry out the mace for the purpose of taking for burial, that too is not considered to be a proper malacha according to Rabbi Shimon. Let's take a look at Rashi inside who explains this. Rashi up on the first line, beginning with the words afim moitzi es hameis l'kovroi, where the purpose here is not only to rid oneself of the tumma, to remove the tumma, but there is a constructive purpose as well. The mace here is going to have a benefit. The object, so to speak, is going to benefit from this act of carrying. Even in this case, as the Gemara of Shimon exempts, he says, it's still considered to be Eina Tzricha L'Gufa, because we look at the person. The person does not have any constructive goal or purpose. He's not personally benefiting from this Haitzah, and therefore he is Potter. Says Rashi, V'loy Tema, don't think. Loy Potter, Ela B'manicha L'Chutz. Don't think that Rabbi Shimon only exempts, only is Potter in a case where he's simply taking the mace outside to leave him outside. Which, in which case, in tzorich loy l'gufa shel moitzi, there's no benefit for the person, loy l'gufa shel hayitza, nor for the object. That in that case, there is no benefit at all, not on the personal side, not on the side of the on account of the chayvet itself. The chiddush is no ada filu hu tzorich ha'meis potter. Even in this case where there is benefit going to be derived for the mace itself, it is the object that is being carried out. Nevertheless, Rav Shimon says it's potter, because what determines the status of this malacha, of this maisa itzah, it is the personal benefit. We look at the person doing it, is he deriving any benefit? Is it considered to be something beneficial for him? Then he's chayef. Otherwise, he's potter. So the chiddush is, even if he's being moitzi the maisa lekovrei, to bury it, it is still considered to be ein tzricha l'gufa, because the person carrying it does not derive any personal benefit from this ma'aseh itzah. Amar Rava, umayd Rav Shimon. However, Rav Shimon would agree in the following two cases that we consider it to be a malach. For instance, b'mar leichbar boy, he carries out a shovel in order to dig with it, so he's going to have personal benefit from it. V'sefer Torah likris boy, carries out a sefer Torah to read from it. The chayev. Why? So Rav Pshita, of course. What's the chiddush here? If he's going to have personal benefit from it, why would you even consider this to be a malacha she'ena tzrich l'gufa? Pshita, of course. Dihi ha'nami malacha she'ena tzrich l'gufa hi. If you would propose theoretically that this as well is regarded as ena tzrich l'gufa nis pater, then you find nothing that is tzrich l'gufa. Ela malacha she'tzrich l'gufa l'Rav Shimon hechem shkachasla. If these cases as well are considered to be not of constructive nature, then what is? What is according to Rav Shimon a malacha she'tzrich l'gufa? So what is the chiddush here? Why is Rava need to teach us this chiddush here, that when he carries the shovel or the sefer Torah, even Rav Shimon would agree that he's chayav? Of course, says the Gemara, not so fast. Ma'od ha'tema, perhaps I would say, adi ikka l'gufa l'gufa. Perhaps according to Rav Shimon, we only treat it as a malacha she'tzrich l'gufa if there's a double benefit here. Both the person doing the malacha and the object itself will benefit from this malacha. Ad ikka l'gufoi, u'l'gufa, he has something from it. L'gufa, the object has something from it. Kigoi, for instance, mar lasis le'tas v'lachbar. Why is he carrying out this shovel? To repair it, to place a tas, is a plate of metal on its tip, to repair it. She's taking it out for repairs, v'lachbar, and also to dig with it. So there's a double benefit here. The chayfetz has something from it, and the person has something from it. Or in the case of a sefer Torah, sefer Torah lagia, to edit it, to repair it. Likras Boy, and then to read from it. So there's a double benefit here. The person has a benefit. The chayfetz, the object, will benefit from it. Perhaps only in that case do we treat it as a malacha shetzricha l'gufa. Kamash malon. Therefore, Rava teaches us that's not the case. We don't need for that extent. We don't need to be providing benefit for the person and for the object. Rather, it is the person who determines the status. If it is going to aid and benefit the person, that is enough and sufficient, and it is regarded as a malacha shetzricha l'gufa. So once again, according to Reb Shimon, a malacha she'ena tzrich l'gufa is not considered to be a malachas machsheves, and he's potter. But what determines? It is the person that determines. If he has personal benefit from it, we consider it to be a constructive malacha, and he's chayef. The fact that the object, for instance, has benefit, that is not sufficient. We need that the person should have benefit, and only then do we regard it as a malacha she'tzrich l'gufa. Continues the Gemara, who's shichva? There was this corpse, this mace. That person, the Ava Bedirukras, who was present in this town, Dirukras, Shara Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Lafuke LeKarmelis. So Rashi says he was the mace was in a unpleasant situation, unpleasant location. It was a degrading situation. It was Bebezoyin, either in the sun or Bedleika near fire. So they needed to change its locations. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak allowed them to remove the mace and take it out to a karmelis, which is not a rishus rabbim or rishus hayochad, it is a rishus rabbanim. Amalei Rav Yochanan, Achva. So Rav Yochanan challenged him. Rechon was the brother, Achva, the marbrei, the ravana. He challenged the Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. He says, how could you allow one to carry out a mace from rishus hayochad to a karmelis? Kiman to Reb Shimon? Are you following Shita's Reb Shimon, who holds that carrying out a mace is not considered to be a true malacha because it's in its tzricha l'gufa? Eima de pater Reb Shimon b'chiv chatas. Reb Shimon only exempts from a chatas. He says it's not a malacha d'raisa. Yisur d'rabbanim yikav. Certainly, they said d'rabbanim. So how can you allow this l'chatchila? Reb Shimon says a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa is pater, meaning he doesn't need to bring a carbon, but it's awesome at d'rabbanim. Amalei. So Reb Nachman Reitzel responded, Holy Kim, this is a lashon of a swearing of a shvua. The Eilas Beyat, you yourself are going to go there and carry out this mace. Vafilu Rav Yehuda Shari, I allowed even in the case where Rav Yehuda would allow, meaning Rav Yehuda who holds that a melacha she'ena tzricha gufa is indeed a melacha. My ruling followed even Rav Yehuda's most stringent approach. I wasn't following Rav Shimon's approach. De mi ka aminu l'shus rabim. Did I then say that one can carry the mace from Rishus Yochad to Rishus Rabim, which is a Hetzah min HaTorah? Karmelis Kamina. I was simply speaking about a Karmelis to allow transfer from a Rishus Yochad to a Karmelis, which is only a Rishus Rabbanim. Why? Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who considers carrying a mace from one Rishus to the other as a bona fide malacha, as a malacha d'oraisa, because he holds that a malacha she'en tzricha l'gufa is considered to be a malacha, even according to him, I allowed, because I allowed merely to a karmelis. Gadol kvod habriyos. Human dignity is great, is so big, is held in such high esteem. Shadoyach es loisa sheba Torah has the ability to push away, to do away with a loisa saying the Torah. Which, what type of loisa are we speaking about? Rashi says, the law of loisosor, Torah tells us to not to stray from the words of the scholars of Chachamim. So this is the basis for the Surim de Rabbanon. So what he meant to say was that I allowed, on account of Kavod HaBriyos, to protect the dignity of this mace, who was mutal bebezoyin, was lying in bezoyin in near a fire or in bechama under the sun. So I allowed a Issa de Rabbanon to be pushed away. I allowed him to be carried from a Rishus Hayochad merely to a Karmelis, which is only in Siddur Rabbanon, on account of Kavod HaBriyos. Therefore, Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, it's unrelated to the discussion of Malacha She'en Tzricha L'Gufa between Machlokes Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon. I was mat even according to Rav Yehuda. Even though a Malacha She'en Tzricha L'Gufa is a Malacha, I simply allowed it to be carried from Rishus Hayochad to a Karmelis, on account of Kavod HaBriyos. Now what about this? So Muktzah Rashi says they would put something on it, a kikar, loaf of bread, or a tinaik. This was a method allowed to carry a mace in these circumstances. Continues the Gemara. Tanan Asam. So we learned in a Mishnah in the Goyim, HaToilish Simoni Tumah. So if one has a nega, now there are various simonim, signs of tumah, of impurity in the nega, for instance, two white hairs which are growing in the nega, or a michya. Michya is a small piece of naturally colored flesh which is present in this nega, this white blotch which is tumah. So these are examples of two types of simoni tumah, which due to these, the presence of these things, the nega is tumah. Says the Mishnah, we know that the pasuk says he shomer b'nega tzaras. Rashi brings this is the lav, where the Torah tells a person be careful, don't remove the simoni tuma from your nega. You must keep it as is. So if a person is toilish simoni tuma, says the Mishnah, toilish simoni tuma, if one removes the white hair in his nega, va'koyve amichya, if he takes a michya, which is the naturally colored looking flesh, and he's koyve amichya, he burns it. By doing so, he removes the status of the tumah from the michya, and he removes the status of tumah from his nega. Oiver beloisase, he's oiver this lav where the Torah prohibits one from removing the simoni tumah from his nega. Says the Gemara, Itmar we learnt, achas mishtaim chayiv. What if one has two white hair in his nega, and he removes one of those two hair, chayiv? He is chayiv because the only way the hair is metame is if there are two there. So if he removes one of two, he is removing the simon tumah, and therefore he's chayiv. What about if there are three? There are three white hair. Achas mishalish. So he removes only one of those three, and there are still two remaining. Now two are sufficient to endow this nega with tumah. So what is the halacha there? Rav Nachman amar chayiv. In this case as well, he's chayiv. Rav Sheshes amar patur. He didn't do anything. The nega still tummy. Rav Nachman amar chayiv. Why? Ahani maisav. Because he accomplished something. What did he accomplish? Di mishtakel chad achriti. So by removing number one of three, what's going to happen? Now he brought it closer to tahara. Di mishtakel chad achriti. Because if the next one will be removed, azla tuma will disappear. So he brought it a step closer to tahara. By removing number one of three, he is enabling the nega to become tar when the next one will be removed. So you brought a step closer, and that is sufficient to make him liable, to make him chayev. Rav Sheshes amar patur. We look at the present, current situation. Hashta miyas, ha'isa l'tuma. Now, at this point in time, hashta miyas, ha'isa l'tuma. Certainly their tuma is still present. He didn't do anything. He didn't accomplish anything. Amar Rav Sheshes, mena aminala. Where do I find my concept? The snan, we learned in our Mishnah. The snan, as we learned, v'chein kezayis min ha'meis, v'kezayis min ha'veil chayla. Mishnah says, if one carries out a kizayis of a mace, a kizayis of a nevela, he's chayev, because he got rid of the tumah. Apparently, ha, chatzi zayis, if he merely carries out only a half of a zayis, of the mace or the nevela, he's potter. He didn't do anything. V'atanya, but we know it in another braisa, chatzi zayis chayev. If one should carry out only a half a zayis, he is chayev. So we seem to have a contradiction between the Braisa, which says Chayiv even on half a Zayis, and the Diyuk of our Mishnah, which seems to say that he's Potter. So how are we going to reconcile this contradiction? My love, apparently, Hadasani Chayiv, the Braisa which says Chayiv even on a half, we're speaking about a case where the Apik Chatzi Zayis, Mikazayis, when there was a Kazayis present, there was an olive volume of the Nevela present, when he removed a half, took it outside, he removed the tumah, because at this point it's only a half a zayis, which is not sufficient to be matami. So you accomplish something. Therefore, it's considered to be a significant act of Eitzoah and Yischayiv. So that's the pshat in the braisa. V'ha desnan potter, however, from our Mishnah, where we imply that he's potter by carrying out only half a zayis, apparently we're speaking about the afik, chatzi zayis, mikazayis mechza. When there was one and a half kazayis there, more than necessary, and he only carried out a half, leaving a full zayis behind. He didn't do anything. He didn't accomplish anything. So although he brought it closer to tahara, because he removed the first of the three half of Kazesim here. There was one and a half. He removed a half. So he brought it closer. He brought the process one step closer to Tara. We look at the present moment. There's no accomplishment. Therefore, he's potter. So this is a source of Sheshes Shita. We focus on the present. For Rav Nachman will respond, Idividi Chayv. In both cases, he would be Chayv. Meaning, whether he actually did something or he brought it a step closer, he would be Chayv. Meaning, let's say there was a Zayis and he took out a half. By doing so, he diminished the shear, is Chayv. If there was one and a half and he removed a half, he brought it one step closer. At this point in time, even if just a little bit, just a minute amount would be removed, it would diminish the shear. In this case as well, he's Chayv, because he brought it to that point. By removing that half of Kazayis from the one and a half, he brought it very close to Tahara. At this point, only a minute amount is necessary to remove to be Mitar. Therefore, Kotar Nachman, in both cases, is Chayv. But it's not Potter. However, the Halacha on the Mishnah, which seems to imply that he's Potter, is speaking about the Apik Chatzi Zayis. He made his Godel. He carried out a half of Zayis from a large mace. So there was a large amount of Tumah there. He didn't bring it a step closer. He just took out a half of Zayis. There was still so much more remaining. So much more needs to be taken out to minimize to remove the shear, to remove the Tumah. Therefore, it's not regarded as though he accomplished anything. I'm only speaking about a case where he actually brought it very close to Tahara. For instance, in the case where we have the three hair, he ripped out one hair, leaving only two behind. At this point, he brought it very close to Tahara because all we need is to remove the next hair. Or in the case where he had one and a half Zayis of Tumah, and he took out a half, leaving only one behind. At this point, all he needs to do is take one little bit, and he accomplishes. So he brought it so close. But when you have a large amount of Tumah there, and he only takes out a half of his eyes, he didn't do anything, he didn't accomplish anything, and certainly he's potter. So in summary, if a person should carry out a half a zayis of Tumah, so Rav Nachman says, well, if he took the half a zayis from the pre-existing zayis, he diminished the shear, and he's chayv, he accomplished something. Rav Nachman says as well, that if there was a kezayis umechza, one and a half, and he took out a half, he brought it so close to Tahara, and therefore he accomplished something, he's chayv. If it is mimeis gadol, he's potter. Rav Sheshes maintains, the only way he's chayv, if there was a kezayis there, and now by taking out that half a zayis, he removed the shear of Tumah, only in that case he's chayv, but in the other cases he's potter, because we look at the present moment. If he accomplished something at the present moment, he's chayv. But the fact that he brought it closer to eventual Tahara, that is not sufficient to be mechayv. Continues the Mishnah, Hanoitel Tziparnav Zubuzu, if one uses his nails to trim his other nails, Oibashinav, or trims them using his teeth, Vechein Sa'aray, or uses his hands to trim his hair, Vechein Sfamay, or his mustache, Vechein Skamay, his beard, Vechein Agedelis, a woman who braids her hair on Shabbos, Vechein Akecheles, or applies eye paint, Vechena Pekesis layers her hair in a specific fashion. Reb Lezer Machayev, in all these cases, Reb Lezer says they are considered to be a true Malacha Deiraisa, and he is Chayev Echatas. Vachamim, Oishim Mishmishvus, they say no, he is not regarded as Malacha Deiraisa, merely they are Asamid Rabbanah Mishmishvus, Shvus means meant to rest, refrain, so they are Isuri Rabbanah. Says the Gemara, Amar Blazer, let's go back to the beginning of our Mishnah. So if one trims his nails or his hair using his hands, according to the Chachamim, it's not considered to be the customary way of doing it. It's not the ordinary way, the derech of doing it, and therefore it's not considered to be a melacha d'oraisa. Reb Lezer maintains, no, apparently he can still achieve proper results, and therefore it's considered to be a true melacha. Says the Gemara, Omer Reb Lezer, machlekes b'yad. So this discussion is only strictly because he uses hands. Avo bekli, but if a person should use a kli, a utensil, to trim his nails or his hair, divrei kol chayiv all agree that he's chayiv because it's considered to be a tilod, a derivative of the melacha of goizes. Goizes means sharing the wool off the sheep. Here too, he's trimming something off the person. It's considered to be a melacha d'oraisa if he uses a kli. Says the Mapshita, of course, zubuzu tnan. The Mishnah specifically speaking about using his nails to trim his other nails. Apparently, if he would use a kli, it would be considered to be a melacha according to all shittos. So what's the chiddush? Says the Gemara, Mao de Tema, perhaps I would think. Rabbanan be kli nami patri. Even when using a kli to Rabbanan, he is patr. Vahad de Tani zubazu. Why then does the Mishnah specifically describe him as using his nails? The Mishnah is trying to inform us the extent of Rabbi Lezer's opinion that even when he doesn't use a kli, it's still considered to be a malacha. But that's not to say that if he would use a kli according to the Chachamim, it's a malacha. Kamash malon. Therefore, the Gemara needs to inform us, no, that if he would use a kli, that is regarded as a bona fide malacha, is a talad of goizes, and according to all shittis, he would be chay v'chatas. Continues the Gemara, v'amr Rabbi Lezer, machlokes la'atzmai. This discussion is only if he trims his own nails, his own hair. In that case, Rabbi Lezer will tell us that even if he uses his hands, it's considered to be a malacha because he can achieve proper results. But if he attempts to do it to his friend, they are called pater. Even Rabbi Lezer agrees it's not a malacha because he can't achieve proper results. He can't maneuver his hands properly to achieve proper results. It's not considered to be a proper malacha. Says him once again, Pshita, of course. It's obvious. It's a part of Tanan. The Mishnah specifically is describing it as Tziparnav. He's trimming his own nails. Apparently, if he would be trimming somebody else's nails, all agree it's not a malacha. Says him, Ramah would detain, perhaps I would think, Rabbi Lezer l'chaver nami mechayiv. Rabbi Lezer would maintain even when he's doing it for somebody else, it's considered to be a proper malacha. Father Tony Tziparnav. Why then does the Mishnah state Tziparnav, which implied that he's doing his own nails, to inform you the extent of Rabbanan's chiddush, that even in that case, they don't regard it as a malacha. But this is not to say that according to Blazer, should he decide to do it l'chaveroi, and is any different, kamash malon. Therefore, the Gemara teaches us, no, that Rabbi Blazer is only mechayev if he does it on his own. But if he does it l'chaveroi, even according to Rabbi Blazer, it's not a malacha. Continues the Gemara, v'chein sa'aroi, Tana, what is the shear of the malacha of shearing one's hair, of trimming one's hair? How many hair? Hanoitel meloi piyazug chayv. If one trims meloi piyazug, a shear of hair, which fills the piyazug, the mouth, the tip of the scissors, he's chayv. So according to Rabbanan, when he used the kli, according to Blaz, even using his hands. V'kama meloi piyazug, so how much is that? Omrevide shtayim, two hair. V'atanya, but if we take a look at that same brisa, the brisa continues and says ulakarcha shtayim. The brisa says that lakarcha, meaning the isser of balding oneself, shaving one's hair as an expression of mourning, how much hair is necessary for that isser? Shtayim, two hair. So apparently, this shear of two only applies to the isser of karcha, but not to the previously stated malacha of Shabbos. But it's one brisa. The brisa begins by saying hanoitu moi piyazug chayiv. And continues, lekarcha shtayim. So apparently this shtayim is only applied lekarcha, not to the former halacha of Shabbos. Ema says, read, v'chein lekarcha shtayim. That indeed, the shtayim goes back on the first halacha as well, that not only for karcha, but also for Shabbos, v'chein lekarcha shtayim. So the shtayim is applied to both, to Shabbos and to karcha. Tani Rami Hachi, we found this in Ebraisa as well. Hanoito moi piyazug, b'shabas chayiv. If one shears that amount of hair, is chayiv. V'kama moi piyazug, how much is there? Shtayim to hair. So this is Tanakama who holds the malacha of trimming hair only applies to a minimum of two hair. Rabbi Lezer Omer, achas. Even one is sufficient to be considered a malacha. Umoidim chacham Rabbi Lezer. Chacham will concede to Rabbi Lezer in the following case. So if one is picking white hair from within his black hair, in that case, shafilu achas chayiv. Even if he does only one hair, if he picks out only one white hair, he is chayiv. Why? Because that is considered to be a melacha chashuva. That's considered to be something significant because he's particular. Even about one hair, even about one white hair, he wants to look young. So in that case, all agree that is sufficient shear from Allah. Continues the Gemara. V'dover zeh. You meant to know that this thing, af b'choy l'asr, even during ordinary weekdays, asr. It's asr for a man to pick out white hair. V'shem shenemar. Lo yilbash gever simlas isha. A man is not meant to wear a garment of an isha. He's not meant to involve himself in beautifying himself. That is considered to be a practice of women. Tanya Rav Shimon Lazoimer. See, Poiren Shapirish Ruba. If a person has a nail, which has come mostly, which has become mostly detached from his body, Vitzitzin. So these are these little loose strands of flesh around his nail, these cuticles. Vitzitzin Shapirish Ruban. That they have too. They have also come apart, detached from the person. So if most of the tzipurin has come apart, come detached from the person, and most of this strand of flesh was pierced from the person, then biyad mutter, a person may remove them using his hands, b'kli chayev chatas. If he uses a utensil, he's chayev chatas. It's a malacha. Says Gemara, how can you present such a wide spectrum, such a wide extreme? Mika midi the b'kli chayev chatas. Is there such a thing that doing something with a kli involves a chayev chatas? It's a malacha deraisa. And you allow him to use his hand even chatchila. Generally, the rachachamim would make a gzera, would not allow him using his hands, lest he come do an issa deraisa using a kli. So how can you say on the one hand using a kli is a melacha deraisa, and using his hands is mutal chatchila? Says the Morhachi Kama, this is what he meant to say: pirshu ruban. So if most of them became detached, biyad mutar, he can use his hands chatchila bekli. Potter aval asr. So indeed, using a kli does not involve a melacha deraisa. It's asr drabanan, but certainly it's potter from machatas. So that explains things. So if a kli is a drabanan, they allowed using his hands. Loi pirshu ruban. However, if the nail or these strands of flesh were not mostly detached from the body, biyat potter aval asr. In that case, it can involve a melacha deraisa. If he uses his hands, it's asr drabanan. Potter aval asr. If he should use a kli in this case, it's considered to be a melacha, melacha of goizes, and it's chayev chatas. But in any case, if they've come apart, they've come detached from the body, ruban mostly detached, in this case, he may use his hands. It is mutal chatchil. Omar Rav Yehuda, halacha Rav Shimon Elazar. Indeed, that is the halacha. Omar Rav Racham Rav Yochanan. This allowance is only behu shepirshu klapei malam. This allowance to pull off these strands of flesh, it's only if they they've become detached, klapei mala, upward towards the body. They cause him pain. In that case, Chacham allowed him to remove these strands using his hands. And as the Farshim say that, likewise regarding the nail, if it's become mostly detached from the body, and it is causing him tsar, he's allowed to remove it using his hands. So in summary, what if one trims his nails or trims his hair using a kli? All agree that there's a chiyuv chatas. Now what is the shear of trimming hair? At least two hair. Or in the case of one white hair from amongst black ones, even one is sufficient for a malacha for chiyuv chatas. What if he uses his hands? If he uses his hands trimming his own nails or hair, according to a blazer, there's a chiyuv chatas. According to a chavim, it is only a sedra banan. What happens if he is trimming his friend's hair or nails using his own hands? According to all shittos, he is potter, and apparently the Mefarshim say this applies not only to trimming nails, but also to trimming his friend's hair. Okay, time for a brief chazara of today's daf. We began with the Mishnah, who told us that if one should carry out oichlin less than a shear in a kli, not only is he potter for the oichlin, he's potter for the kli as well, because the kli is tuffel. It is secondary to the content, and it is not significant. It is not reckoned with. The Braisa told us if he carries a oichlin kishir in a kli, he's chayiv on the oichlin, but he's not chayiv on the kli, unless he specifically needs the kli out there. He is tzarichle. In that case, he's chayiv not only on the food, but on the container as well. We learned the concept of chayneshis atzmoy. A living thing lifts itself, it lightens itself. It's not considered to be a standard load. According to Rabbanon, this applies only to a person. According to Rab Nassan, to a behemah chayiv oif as well, all agree that if it is kafas, tied up, it's considered to be a load. We learned that if there was a kezayis of tumah, and he removes half of the zayis, by doing so he diminishes the shear. All agree that he's chayiv, it's considered to be a haitzah chashuvah, he accomplished something. What if there was a kezayis and a half, and he only removed a half of zayis? According to Rav Nach, in this case as well, he's chayiv because he brought the process closer to tahara. All you need now is to remove just a little bit. and to accomplish Tahara, according to Rav Sheshes. At the present moment, he hasn't accomplished anything because he left the Kazayas behind. He's Potter. We look at the Machlokes into Rav Lez and Rav Banan. If a person trims his nails or his hair using his hands, according to Rav Lezer, it's a malacha. According to Chum, he's Potter. It's only Issa Rabbanon. All agree if he uses a kli, it's considered to be a malacha. And all agree that if he does it, lechaver to his friend. Even Rav Lezer agrees that using his hands to do that for his friend is not considered to be a malacha. It's only an Issa Rabbanon.